Chapter 10, The Writings Division. There are 11 books in the third division of the Old Testament. The first three are what might be called poetic books. These are the Psalms, the Proverbs, and the Book of Job. All are basically in poetic meter form. The next five books of the third division are called in Hebrew the Megillot, and they were known as festival books. This was because the first book, the Song of Songs, was read each year at the Passover season. The second book, Ruth, at Pentecost. The third book, Lamentations, was read on each ninth of Ab, which was the eve of the anniversary date for the destruction of both the temple in the time of Nebuchadnezzar in the 6th century BCE, as well as the destruction of the second temple by the Romans in 70 CE. The fourth book, Ecclesiastes, was read each Feast of Tabernacles. And finally, the fifth book, Esther, was read each Purim festival, which always occurred in the middle of the month preceding Nisan, the first month of the year. The next three books of the third division are Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, reckoned as one book, and Chronicles, also reckoned as one book. These books will be discussed in the next chapter. The first three books. Look now at the first three books of this third division, Psalms, Proverbs, Job. These books were read, and often sung in the case of the Psalms, at the portal to the men's portion of the court of the Israelites, but near where the women could hear. This area for the men was the western part of the court. Recall that this court was divided in the time of Jesus into two divisions. One, the most western section near the priestly region of the temple, was for the men, while the eastern section was known as the court of the women. First, let us look at the books intended primarily for the men. The Psalms were written by kings, for kings, or by and for priestly rulers. The 150 Psalms were divided into five sections, 1 through 41, 42 through 72, 73 through 89, 90 through 106, and 107 through 150. And they represented a type of Torah for the rulers of Israel in metrical form. These psalms were intended for reading and singing with prophetic significance and have always been associated by Jewish authorities with the steps in the western part of the court of Israel that led up to the level of pavement that was reserved for the priests. On those steps, the psalms were read and sung at various times. There are prophetic themes found in their arrangement. For example, the Psalms of Degrees, the 15 Psalms from 120 to 134, were sung near these steps and are associated with the prophecies of Isaiah and the prophetic teaching God gave to Hezekiah. The other Psalms were performed at regular intervals, some daily, others weekly, monthly, and even yearly. Apparently, the whole lot of 150 Psalms were sung in regular order each week for two periods of 1.5 years, making a 3-year period altogether to agree with the triennial cycle readings of the Law and Prophets. These were patriotic or religious songs that were meant to praise God and inspire the people to good works and deeds for Israel and for all mankind. As said before, these five sections of the 150 Psalms represented a type of special Torah to the rulers of Israel. The books of Proverbs and Job, both of which were written either for or about kings and rulers, were also intended for rulers in this same area of influence within the temple that pertained to men. Job found a place within the divine canon and was allowed to be read in the temple because he was considered in some circles to be an Israelite from the tribe of Issachar. Whatever the case, Job lived before the time of Moses, and there were then no restrictions about wise men of any race going into the house of God, simply because there was no sanctuary in existence that God officially devised, as he did in the time of Moses. The next five books, the Megillot. The five books of the third division are called, in a feminine manner, the Megillot. This word, meaning scroll, is personified as a woman in Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 2 and 4, and Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, and chapter 3, verse 3. There is indeed a feminine aspect associated with these five scrolls of the Megillot. They have themes in which women are the main characters, or the teachings as a whole are oriented toward the feminine attributes of the Bible, that is, wisdom, understanding, etc. They were intended as a type of Torah for the women at headquarters. Indeed, the Torah, the five books of Moses, is called by this exact name. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume, Megillah, of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, yea, your law, Torah, is within my heart. Psalm 40, verses 7 through 8. This confirms the connection between the five books of the Megillah and the five books of the law. Look at each of these five scrolls. They are intended principally for the instruction of the women of Israel, and all were intended for those in what was called the Court of the Women, which was the first or eastern compartment of the temple. This region was the first part of the temple that people encountered when they entered the temple proper. 1. Note that the Song of Songs is all about a woman who wishes to court King Solomon, or to be courted by Solomon or another lover, and the daughters of Jerusalem are several times addressed. 2. The Book of Ruth is about the woman Ruth who became a foremother of King David. 3. The Book of Lamentations personifies the city of Jerusalem as the queen mother of the people of Israel. It is written in the style of a mother weeping for her children who have been destroyed. This queen city is called the Daughter of Zion and the Daughter of Jerusalem. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 1 and verses 11 through 13. 4. The next book is the Book of Ecclesiastes. Its title in Hebrew is Koheleth, which by itself and without a context is a feminine word meaning congregation of or a collection for women. This phrase fits the descriptive name of the Court of the Women in the temple as it existed in the time of Christ. This is where the women congregated. Solomon directed himself in this book to that congregation of women. Finally, the context of Ecclesiastes, it identifies Solomon himself. It can best be understood as the teacher of the assembled women. Koheleth was a book written by Solomon that Ezra placed in the canon for the specific reason of teaching the feminine attributes in the temple, in the environment of God's house. This book is associated with the women's books of the Megillah, and it answers even in title with the phrase, the court for the congregation of the women that designated the eastern part of the court of Israel in the temple. 5. The fifth book of the Megillah is the Book of Esther. This is a book for women, and one that is about a woman. This is manifestly a book about the divine role of the young Jewish woman, Esther, who became queen of Persia and saved the nation of Judah from destruction. It can easily be understood why this book, in a literary sense, would be associated with the court of the women in the temple at Jerusalem. It was primarily intended to teach women how to be queenly and loyal, even if married to a non-believer. In a word, Ezra devoted this Megillah section of the Old Testament canon to the teaching of the women of Israel, and it is about feminine attributes or virtues. These women or feminine attributes are accorded five books just like the Law of Moses itself had five books. The Megillah is also similar to the Psalms intended for the rulers, which had five sections. They help to show that in God's eyes, the women are as important and in need of special instruction as are the men. True enough, these five books specifically intended for the women, they are a type of Torah for women, are positioned after those of the priests, and after the kings and after the other men rulers, but this last position for the women is provided because of social rank, not because of any inferiority of women in the household of God. To show their importance, Ezra gave the women of the capital city, Jerusalem, and the temple, these five special books of instruction, and these five books ought to be studied especially by women today in the manner that Ezra intended for the noble ladies of Jerusalem in his time. Remember, these five books of the Megillah have the same title as the five books of the law in Psalm 40, verse 7, Hebrew. The significance of the Megillah. As a final word concerning this selection of five special books for women, it should be noted again that there was supposed to have been a bat kol, a supernatural word from God, that none of the books of the third division of the Old Testament should be paraphrased, nor did Ezra assign them to be interpreted in the synagogues. They could be read, but not preached, that is, allegorized. Since paraphrasing of religious books is the first step toward allegorization, and paraphrasing is a logical step toward the preaching of them in the synagogues, which would almost certainly lead to allegorization. These books were to remain limited to temple teaching, and they were to be unpreached in the synagogues. Of course, they could be read in the synagogues, but left unparaphrased. Sadly, this rule broke down, and the books became allegorized by many well-meaning priests, rabbis, and preachers in later times. As far as the Megillat were concerned, however, these five books were intended simply to be read to the assembled women and others on the five festival periods that Ezra assigned. Ezra knew that there would be a strong tendency to allegorize some of them, especially the Song of Songs and Esther, the beginning and ending books of the Megillat. The reason for this was not only because there was a theme of eroticism in the Song of Songs and the harem experiences of Esther that Ezra knew prudish preachers or priests would try to allegorize away, but there is also no overt mention of deity in either of these two documents. This is the way it was intended to be recognized, and Ezra deliberately placed them in the canon with this point in mind. There is wonderful and instructive teaching in both books if one can understand the biblical and temple or festival contexts in which these books are found in the Holy Scriptures, and none of them should be allegorized. Look at the Song of Songs. Left alone and without allegorization, we find a love story, which was to accompany the springtime season of Passover, that is filled with eroticism and romance of the physical kind that a man and woman would naturally experience who care for one another. Nothing is spared in showing this eroticism. It is so blatant that preachers and self-styled moralists object to its language and they wish to allegorize its messages in order to justify its inclusion within the holy canon of books. But it should not be allegorized. The message of the book is to show that, even at his most sacred of times, the Passover season, God fully approves of erotic and romantic encounters between the human sexes. No morality is being explicitly taught anywhere in the book, though a proper morality is understood by biblical people is thoroughly assumed in every sentence, while sexual etiquette is always performed by the participants with utmost decorum. In all of these very private and intimate scenes that are depicted in this book, God is nowhere overtly in evidence. The intent of the writer and what Ezra wanted to teach the women in particular was that God was no voyeur to such actions of his children because such erotic actions should be reserved for the private practice of the couple involved. Surely, God is always with his children, but in regard to such private actions as described in the Song of Songs, and even with the actions of Esther in the king's harem, God remains a distant protector, always out of sight to these private actions of his children, which he wishes them to experience, if done within proper moral guidelines. After all, God demands his privacy on many occasions. Indeed, the high priest could only enter into his inner chambers once a year, and even then with much preparation and purification. The truth is, God demands his privacy from us, though as a father we can call on him any time we have a need, day or night. And he will not enter your home, your kitchen, your bathroom, or your bedroom, unless you ask him to do so, for reasons that are prudent and within the standards of etiquette that most cultured and moral people demand. This, in fact, is what the Song of Songs and the Book of Esther are trying to teach the women of Israel in the temple, among other things that the books illustrate. But all of this is destroyed and made of no worth if one simply allegorizes the books to make them conform to the moral prudery and preachiness of many religious authorities.